This is Fisherman's Picnic Weekend, which is probably one of the busiest tourist weekends of the year in Cook County, and a recent study conducted by the University of Minnesota Tourism Center examined how travel patterns among households with school-age kids change when school starts before Labor Day. The results provide data for policymakers as they consider ending the mandate that school districts start after Labor Day in Minnesota. We're joined on the phone now by Ingrid Schneider. She's the director of the University of Minnesota Tourism Center and a professor in the Department of Forest Resources. Hi, Ingrid.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for joining us on a Friday night.
Oh, sure. Thanks for having us. Wish I could be up there for the festival.
It's pretty fun. Well, you're the director of the University of Minnesota Tourism Center, and I'm not sure most people know that the U has a tourism center. What does it do?
We're a well-kept secret, what can I say? Yes, well, actually, for 25 years, this is our 25th anniversary this year, we've been preparing and supporting the tourism industry for success and sustainability. And we do that through two main areas. One is applied research, like what we're talking about here tonight. And also then we do education for the people in the tourism industry and also help tourism-dependent communities like Grand Marais and others help them inform their decisions about tourism development. Should they extend the festival? Should they have another festival? What should you do with your restaurants in the area, et cetera? Things like that.
So do you work a lot with, let's say, visitors bureaus or chambers of commerce or...
We do, yes. We work with communities and their representatives like chambers and visitors and convention bureaus or nonprofit organizations who might be interested in some of those same issues. For example, right now we're working in the metro area and the Bloomington Visitor and Convention Bureau and the Northern Gateway to try and understand visitors to the metro. What are they doing here? How long are they staying? If and how are they using social media to share information about their trips?
Okay. We wanted to talk to you. It seemed like a perfect weekend to talk about this study that you recently commissioned about how travel patterns among households with school-age kids change when school starts before Labor Day. Why was the study commissioned?
Great question. Well, for years, this discussion about when should school start, before Labor Day or after Labor Day, comes up in the legislature, with other policymakers and school districts themselves. So we've had this continuous request for information, and it's been fairly difficult to get and understand really how does behavior change in these situations. And the reason it's been difficult to obtain is that we haven't had a lot of cases where districts have switched. So there's been some past research that asks, hypothetically, what would you do? But hypothetical behavior isn't always strongly correlated to what people actually do. So we were just delighted to be able to find the resources to support this study to try and help the industry and decision makers to inform their decisions about what really is the impact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, intuitively, people could perhaps guess the outcome, but intuition is not always the best. So
right.
We really wanted to provide some objective data for people to inform decision-making.
And I'm imagining on something that could be controversial, it's good to have actual data rather than basing things on intuition or opinion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so,
right. And this is a hot issue. I mean, it came up last year, and it comes up every other year, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. What's the current law in Minnesota, Ingrid?
The current law is that it's a post-Labor Day school start unless you get an exception, and that does happen on occasion. There are some certain circumstances where the Department of Education will grant exceptions to
mm-hmm.
these rules.
Mm-hmm. So what exactly were you trying to learn through the study, and how was it conducted?
Sure. Well, we were trying to answer the question, if and how does family travel change with this Labor Day school start? And really, it's kind of a simple question. So we're really fortunate to find a national data set that we could work with, because Minnesota, we don't really start before Labor Day, except with these exceptions. So we used a national data set that tracks people's daily behavior. It's been conducted for many years, and in 2005, they started asking travel data. So it's a wonderful resource. So what the researchers did is compare travel behavior for select states that had Labor Day school starts pre- and post-Labor Day school starts. And because a few states were switched during that time, we were able to do some comparisons. So we looked at family travel in August and September and compared when these states changed school starts. And then we also were able to look from May to September with that same question, if and how does the school date start impact travel? And specifically, we're looking at travel of two nights or more away from home. Mm-hmm. And our results were even surprising to us for the impact.
Really? Okay. Do tell.
Yeah. So what we found is that family trips of two or more nights decreased by 50% in August or September when school starts moved to before Labor Day.
Wow.
50%. Yeah. It really was larger than I anticipated, and perhaps it's more. I don't know. Did it surprise you?
Yeah, it did. I was also wondering, though, did they shift the travel to earlier in the summer?
Oh, that's so good. Yes. So then that's exactly what we wanted to see. You know, the one study that we found that had been done did just look at that August-September travel date, and people are planners. So if you know school might be starting before Labor Day, may or after Labor Day, or whenever it is, you're going to possibly shift that travel to earlier in the summer. So that's what we do think happened. So still, overnight travel did decrease 30% when school starts were moved to before Labor Day. Hmm. So what we found is this 50% change in August, September, and a 30% change the course of the summer with that pre-Labor Day start.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, Ingrid, if there was some kind of a control group or something where everything else was held the same except maybe they didn't have children?
Right. No, absolutely. And this is one of the reasons we feel so good about this research is a number of things were done to make sure that this effect of the Labor Day school start was isolated. So what our researchers did, the folks from the Applied Economics Department held constant as many factors they could, whether it was demographic or economic groups, and even the years. We were able to isolate changes in the years. And so we found those factors didn't really impact the travel. It was this Labor Day school start. And then the real test was, well, if this really is an issue, then families without children won't change their behavior. And that's exactly what we found. So the Labor Day school start.
Okay.
Yep.
So who will be using this study?
Well, certainly I would imagine the travel and tourism and hospitality industry will use this because this informs some of the arguments that they've made. I imagine the legislature will be using this study, perhaps not only in our state, but the other states in which we were able to use some of the data, some of our regional neighbors like Wisconsin and Michigan and beyond. And honestly, because it's such a groundbreaking study, I imagine there might be some real national interest in it.
Hmm. Well, that's pretty mm-hmm. exciting.
It is. And I just want to add, too, this I understand up in your part of the woods and other parts of the state as well that there's been some consideration of a four-day school week.
Yeah, you had asked me about that, and I know our school board had kicked that around this year. And this study is some sort of follow-up to that study?
It is. It's an additional study. So earlier this year, in last fall, the same researcher, Elton McCarezzi from the Department of Applied Economics, worked with us to study if and what changes happened when school districts switched from the traditional five-day school week to a four-day week. And what we found, again, was a little surprising. We found that there were more day trips that occurred with a four-day school week, but many fewer overnight trips of four or five nights in particular. So the day trips increased significantly. There wasn't a change in weekends, which was a bit surprising to me, but the longer trips decreased.
Interesting.
So that has some concerns for folks or destinations who might require a little bit longer time to be there or to travel up.
Right. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Ingrid Schneider. She's the director of the University of Minnesota Tourism Center. Ingrid, what else is the Tourism Center working on that folks here would like to know?
Sure. Well, I'll just say we are actually also extending this Labor Day School Start project, and we're going to be asking our researcher to look at the impact of the school athletic start date.
Oh,
okay. See if and how that, because we've had some interest about that and if and how that impacts travel. So that's one thing to look forward to in the not too far distant future.
Could you please explain what that, you know, how that would interact or when is that date?
Sure. You know, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact date, but it's mid-August, and it would be a similar study like the Labor Day. So depending on the athletic start date, if and how does that impact travel behavior? So we'll be looking across the U.S. again at these states and see if and how that impacts the August-September travel and then the May to September travel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
But beyond that, gosh, we have several fun things happening. We've been working with the Department of Transportation for the last few years to understand the impact of transportation on quality of life and the breadth of what makes up quality of life across the state. So in the past 3 years, we've done 29 focus groups across the state, including some up in your part of the world. And then we did a mail questionnaire to more than 3,000 Minnesotans. So what we found is that there are a number of factors, 11 in particular, that impact quality of life, and transportation is an important one. And we're working now on taking some of that data and looking at some particular elements. Right now we're focusing a bit on biking and bike safety, because as you may know, that there's a big promotion to promote biking in Minnesota. Not only is it good for you, it's active living, but it's another way to build on the strengths of Minnesota's trails. You know, you get a lot of trail use up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a project that's finishing up that is looking at the sophistication of travel and tourism industry web pages and seeing how they address and meet or maybe don't meet some of the market needs and what we can do to help those web pages that aren't as sophisticated as our travelers might like. It's just so amazing how quickly the technology changes, and as you can imagine, for communities and small businesses, it might be challenging to keep up. So we want to help communities and tourism-dependent businesses do that.
Those sound very interesting. I also have to ask you, I'm curious, how does your work in the Department of Forest Resources fit in with the tourism?
Oh, sure. That's a great question. Well, I think your listeners up there can certainly relate about nature-based tourism. And so my interest is in consumer behavior, so how folks interact, enjoy, or have negative experiences, and we certainly don't want those. So my primary interest is trying to understand how people respond to negative situations so managers and planners can correct those things. And so the interest in nature-based tourism, sustainable tourism, along those same lines, ecotourism is how the connection works.
Hmm.
And also, I mean, thinking about some of the concerns, you know, Minnesota relies quite heavily on our natural resources as a tourism product. And some of the challenges, I was just up in that area earlier this week talking about some of the challenges related to invasive species, both aquatic and those impacting vegetation. And, you know, it's a very different product that we could have if things aren't controlled.
That's true. Lots of things could impact it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really interesting intersection of, I don't know, specialties that you have.
It is. It's a nice niche.
Yeah.
It certainly makes it fun and interesting. I get to go to beautiful places. Not too long ago, actually, we were working up on the Gunflint Trail.
Oh.
So lots of things there, and some of the challenges with the fires and
mm-hmm.
still how people were visiting, but just changing their behavior a little bit, and the impact for the organizations up there, both the Forest Service and the private entities.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ingrid, if I'm sure there are people listening who are, you know, working in the tourism industry here and would probably like to learn more about what you do, where can they go?
Well, I would direct them to our webpage, www.tourism.umn.edu, and invite them all to become our friends on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.
Okay, well, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, thanks so much, and I just really love your area. I appreciate the opportunity to be on, and have a great rest of the season.
Thank you, Ingrid, for joining us on a Friday night. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Mm-hmm.